long-planned offensive against the Taliban in Afghanistan is getting underway. It's a prototype for counterinsurgency strategies developed by General Stanley McChrystal. The death of a luger cast a shadow of grief over the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. And whatever happened to old-fashioned payphones? You know, the kind Superman was fond of. I'm James Barron. We'll look at those stories and more on the front page of Saturday's New York Times. Our top story says coalition forces attacked a Taliban stronghold in southern Afghanistan. It was the beginning of a long-expected attack to reestablish government control there. The operation is based on the kind of counterinsurgency thinking propounded by General Stanley McChrystal. He wants to capture the area with a minimum of violence. American commanders say this attack is intended to be nothing like the similar-size assault in Iraq that largely destroyed Fallujah in 2004. Sparing the town may not be much easier this time. Hundreds of Taliban fighters are believed to be in the area. The death of a luger cast a shadow of grief over the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. Luger Nodar Kumaritashvili from the Republic of Georgia died in a crash during a training run. He lost control of his sled after only 48 seconds on a track some competitors have said is too fast. Sports editor Tom Jolly said that even before he was killed, athletes in Vancouver have been coping with a problem that's almost counterintuitive. There they are in Western Canada in the middle of the winter, and there's not enough snow.
It's a curious problem, especially to those of us in the United States where snow seems to be everywhere, even in Dallas where the NBA All-Star Game is this weekend. But they're furiously at work trying to truck in and helicopter in additional snow, manufacture it where they can, and create ice with other means.
But that's not the only weather worry at the Olympics.
The warm temperatures are creating fog, and that's causing problems because obviously if you can't see the course, you can't ski. So they've delayed practice today. Lindsey Vonn was going to go out on the course to practice today, and so far she hasn't been able to.
That was a break for Vonn, who injured her shin in a crash in Austria 11 days ago.
Every day helps her try to recover. It's a bruise. So, you know, as all of us who've had bruises know, you know, that as long as you can keep from aggravating it, it'll get a little better each day. Unfortunately for her, big events are early in the Olympics, and so she's not, you know, she's going to have to push it right from the get-go.
Sports editor Tom Jolly. They're proud of what they did, but now they're haunted by guilt. Many of the doctors who rushed to Haiti after the earthquake are back home now. At first, they had to operate under primitive, improvised conditions. They sterilized their surgical instruments with vodka, and the instruments were everyday tools like hacksaws. The doctors saved lives despite what Dr. Lawrence Ronan of Massachusetts General Hospital called the mass casualty horror show. China moved to curb inflation by tightening credit. For the second time in less than 5 weeks, China's central bank moved to limit lending. This was not unexpected, although the timing was. Times reporter Keith Bradshaw explains.
The banks have been lending so much money that the government is starting to grow concerned about rising real estate prices and rising wholesale prices. Food prices are starting to tick up already at the consumer level as well, although in most cases the inflation hasn't reached the consumer yet. And the government wants to keep it that way by taking action to rein in some of this very rapid bank lending before it gets any further than it already has.
Consumers have been borrowing heavily lately, and prices have been going up across the board. But the real estate market really overheated.
Real estate prices were up 9.5% in January from a year earlier. Now, for American homeowners whose homes may still be worth less than they were a year ago or 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, that might sound great. But in the case of China, the government's been concerned that prices are rising so quickly that people are starting to borrow money to buy second and third houses. And so their worry is not to have their own real estate bubble, and they're trying to bring that under control right now by controlling bank lending.
Wall Street didn't like the Chinese announcement. Also weighing down market indexes on Friday were reports that Europe's economic recovery all but ground to a halt late last year. The Dow Jones Industrials were down 45 points for the day to 10,099.14. Everybody says payphones are on the way out. Times reporter Manny Fernandez says you wouldn't believe that if you did what he did. He kept an eye on one payphone in Queens. It's a lifeline as well as a landline. This particular phone is across from Queens Criminal Court, so some of the callers had just gotten out of jail. Another was a subway conductor calling in sick. New York has about half as many payphones as it did 10 years ago. The phone on Queens Boulevard is owned by an entrepreneur who says cell phones haven't killed his business. Inside Saturday's Times, the company that runs the high-speed Channel trains between Britain and France is being criticized for breakdowns that stranded thousands of passengers last month. Times correspondent Nicola Clark says an independent review found Eurostar's emergency responses were slow and uncoordinated.
There was a series of electrical failures so that even these emergency locomotives that they brought in there were also having trouble getting enough power to either push or pull the stuck trains out of the tunnel.
The report was prepared by two former railroad executives, one from Britain, the other from France. It says Eurostar didn't do enough to winterize the trains. The report says some passengers were stuck in the tunnel for up to 16 hours.
It describes situations of passengers traveling with small children, for example, who had to basically strip them down to their underwear because they were so uncomfortable and so hot, and they had no access to fresh water and food. And later, when they were moved to a shuttle train that was supposed to take them out of the tunnel, they spent several more hours in there, also in cramped and uncomfortable conditions, still without food and water and without sufficient functioning toilets and other unpleasant things like that.
Times reporter Nicola Clark. Eurostar chief executive Richard Brown says the railroad let the passengers down. Eurostar is now spending $47 million on improvements. Brown says it's already made a number of the changes called for in the report. Mississippi is trying a direct approach to job creation thanks to federal subsidies. Tucked away in last year's stimulus act was $5 billion in welfare money that states can use to subsidize jobs. That's letting Mississippi pay private employers to hire people. It's a variation on what the government did during the New Deal, and some economists say Washington should do more of it now. Times reporter Michael Cooper says the administration has rejected that idea so far, but it does support Thursday's congressional agreement promising employers a tax credit for hiring. Congressman Patrick Kennedy says he won't run for re-election. That'll leave Washington without a Kennedy in some political office for the first time in more than 60 years. The 42-year-old Rhode Island Democrat says he wants to focus on his personal life. He says he plans to continue work he started in Congress to help people overcome substance abuse problems. In Saturday's New York report, could another media mogul be looking to make a splash in politics? Real estate tycoon and Daily News publisher Mortimer Zuckerman is considering challenging Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. According to two people who've been told about the discussions he's having, Zuckerman believes his background as a government outsider and his record in business would be pluses. That's our preview of Saturday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron.